Kasparov, Dalit, 15-4.
15-4. Boss man is on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, even here, should we maybe, can I propose to maybe read together, have Rebbe lead us?
I already have a question. Getting back to...
I have the floor.
Shlomo, what's going on with leaving Ito off of the notes? I mean, it's been already, you know how long it's been?
Oh, right.
I have to remind you, and you have to remind him. I mean, you're the boss.
You're 100%. I apologize. I was traveling this past week, but I'm not going to let him go. Next week, Mizrat Hashem, he's going to have it. We'll beat him if he doesn't.
Okay. So what was your question?
My question was, it was in Gimel. He says that this time I'll be held blameless, like as if he did something before. What you know what I'm saying? Oh, we
in Pasuk Gimel?
Pasuk Gimel, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like as if he's saying that, was there ever a previous time that he had dealings with the Plishtim that he should say that? Or does it not mean that?
No, I think what it means is like, this is it. You know, I can't take any more.
Oh, I
just, it's not like but this time.
But I see,
like,
I can't take
okay,
anymore.
It's I can't like, take anymore. This is it. I mean, I've been through everything with you, you know? First, you screw around with me, you get the chida, you know, then I try to be nice, I come back, okay, fine, I'm ready to be Michael, everybody. And I can't believe it. I simply can't believe it. I come back here.
Oh, I see, okay.
And you've all given right. away, I mean, this is it, you know.
This is it. Enough is enough. Yeah, okay,
exactly.
I get it.
Exactly. Well, I can't take any more.
Okay.
Yeah, so which I didn't understand Ito's like constant push to like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. I don't think it's against what Rebbe's saying.
It's just against them. It's a push for where it's against Occam's razor. If Lemaisa, you were going out to do what he was going out to do, it's exactly what you would do. You would say, I can't take it. You would say, the way I've been treated is outrageous. It's exactly what you would say. So why, if we know that these were the exact words that he would have had to say, assuming that the complete approach was, as Ari pointed out, that it was specifically not personal, right? And that it's the way you act, not the way you act to me. It's the way you act. That was Ari's diuk. And then where's the extra information that you're bringing in here claiming that I understand that it's not a contradiction, but I don't even know why you need to say it. Where does it say it?
I just need to acknowledge, or Rebbe to the Olam to acknowledge, it's me against them, that the whole thing is misgalgel so that it becomes him as an individual against them.
No.
Which is, okay, so
that's the whole point, but that's what he's trying to
now,
do.
Now, whether he's doing that, whether he's doing that as a kli of the Rabbonus Shalom, whether he's
already
doing that because of his own deviousness, or whether he gets caught in with his own plan.
You want to preserve the maybes when we have vadais, and you want to throw in additional possibilities, that violates Occam's razor. That's all I'm saying. There's absolutely no need for it. It's exactly what each and every one of us would have done. The behavior is completely understandable. It's predictable. And it's brilliantly designed. It fits every single word and it works out exactly without adding any additional meaning to anything. And all you're doing is adding, well, but still it means this. Okay, fine. You know, if it makes you happy.
The plan works beautifully. Is it God's plan or Shimshon's plan? That's the question.
No.
Is that a fair question?
I think that question is irrelevant.
Why does it have to be God's plan?
I don't understand why it has to be God's plan either. Of course it's not God's plan.
Where is God coming from?
That's what I'd like to know. That's another Occam's razor. We have no need for that postulate.
Yeah.
That's all I was waiting for, Evie. That's all I was waiting for. Okay.
All right, let's go.
Fine. Okay, so the boss man's giving us our marching orders over here.
Yes.
So where are we up to? Shmuel, you going to show your face? There you go. I mean, Yitzi hasn't even seen you yet, you know? He thinks you're 16. Okay. I don't think we're going to get any smiles out of Richie. Out of Yitzi. So. You might as well put your face back. Okay, it was worth it, Shmuel. Excellent. All right, so where do we continue?
Dalet. We're on Pasuk Dalet.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, we could try to do what Ido does, or you're not going to allow us?
No, I'm not. Let's just go. Whatever we've been doing, we're doing.
I don't know. Zoom put you right on top of him. If you want something, you could just drop something through the floor and hit him on the head. Vayelech Shimshon. What happened to Tamar said she was very interested in being here and she's not here. Anyway, so what do you say? This is crazy. Is there any point in it? I mean, I understand the remez, but I mean, obviously the main point isn't the remez, right? I mean, isn't it? It seems pretty partial that the main point is to be insane.
Yeah. Is it that they're going to be more? Is it that they're going to be more agitated because there's two foxes together? Is that the idea that they're even more hysterical because
it's that they're pulling together, in opposite directions? So they're going to have to. They're going to spend a lot of time in one area, and it's going to catch. Whereas like this,
right,
just running
going back and forth. Yeah. Okay.
But it's a strange way to light things, don't you think? I mean, I guess you could have put down some lighter
fluid.
It's very original.
No, I mean, it just fits. It fits so beautifully. It just what a personality he's creating, and what a sense of completely being outside of any way of dealing with it in a normal fashion. I mean, you imagine a Jew comes along and burns down our fields. I mean, this is like unbelievable. But this, like, what are you going to say? <That's insane. laughs> who are you going to sue for this? Are you going to go to a mental institution with the A team? I mean, like, it's unbelievable, no? So, I mean, this whole idea of remaining outside of anything that could be identified with a specific way in which Jews would behave or as a shliach of the Jews, the guy's a madman. I'm telling you, I've seen this work in business so well when people act completely crazy and like, I don't want to mention any names, but I think everybody knows the names. And like, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you can do. What are you going to do? So maybe that's the I mean, obviously the use of Shualim particularly and the Inyan. Oh, now we got two Yitzis. That's great. So that the Inyan of the Remez of the Shualim, you know, Yavo, the Shualim, that they back up and the Plishtim go back up also. And that kind of thing, which is the Remez, fine. Yeah, it's certainly a nice Remez. But meanwhile, we can go on, yeah? Unless somebody has like a diak. Yeah. We'll try to go as fast as we can, and then diukim we'll try to make as we go. Okay. So, vayaver eish balapidim, vayshalach bekomot pelishtim, vayaver migadish viat kama viat kerem zayit. It's a very, at gadish at kama at kerem zayit. Becomes like a whole... A whole marker, right? What's the the Gemara uses this as a remez about that the Zaysim are called a Kerem also. It's interesting. I wonder if there's a context that might shed some light on this from the Sugyas or whether it's just literally just a matter of the words. Let's take a look. Let's see. because what we wanted to Taina, the Gemara wanted to say, Lagabi the dinam of Brocha, some of them lo sif lachem tfuasai. So the Gemara asks, and Kate said, Mevarchim. So we say, okay, so minanimili bechlal, that we're supposed to have Mevarch bala peros and so on. The Tana Rabbanan Kodesh Ilunu Lashem, Lamich Tuni Brocha Liftem Lachareya. Mikan Omer Bekiva, Salonim Shitom Klum, Kodem Shivarech. And so we ask, isn't Kodesh Ilunu needed for the din that you have to first be mechalal it and then eat it, if we're talking about neter avoy? Or dover aton shira aton chilo, shein aton shira ein aton chilo. How do you know shein omrim shira ela ala yayin? Patom ala magefen ichdalt yatiroshit. Fine. So then we have, the Gemara brings a raya gufa from this pasuk. Malakaram shikin chayiv ba'ololot komatochich. Malakoma shikin chayiv is bechala, karam yochi. Achozradin, tzad ashava, dover shenene ton brocha. Malat tzad ashava shikesh po tzad mizbeach, which would only include zayis, which has a tzad mizbeach. And so there the Gemara says that you don't need the pasuk because it says here by Shimshon, that behed yaksi be kerem, because it says that kerem zayis. And Rav Papa says kerem zayis is not the same thing as kerem stoma. That's the only thing that I think we bring from it. So it doesn't seem to be nogea the context at all. Interesting. I mean, but it is very strange that we give that special name at kerem zayis here. I mean, like, why are we focusing on that? Understand, gadish at kama, yes. At Kerem Zayis, particularly? Is that, like, that's all that they were growing in the area, perhaps? What would it be saying? Yeah. Not sure what it would be adding. Okay. Also, remember, we talked last time about whether Shalash Meiris we find in the Gemara is always a Lashon Guzma. We never found anywhere in the Torah it's Lashon Guzma, and the Gemara didn't bring a Raya from anywhere. So right. That still remains open.
I mean, gadish and kama, so it means what? Things that are stored, things that are still on the ground.
Still
I'm saying it does round it out. So also things on the trees. I'm
saying
it was very the agricultural devastation was across the
world. Right, but I mean,
but dafka kerem zayis, I don't know
exactly. Yeah. Why dafka kerem zayis? Yeah,
pardes etzim. I don't know what it could. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, could have just said pardes, whatever. Vayonu plishtim miasazot. So this, who put in that? That was Ari's point that this is consistent with this whole accusations things. The whole thing is like fraught with accusations. Everybody's accusing everybody of stuff. So this is like the classic. Okay, you kids, which one of you did this? You know, it's just a very, very strong accusatory tone. I don't know what the meaning of it would be, but anyway. So who did it? Vayomru Shimshon Chatan HaTimni. Ki lakachat ishto vayitna lemereyehu. Vayalu flishtim vayisrfu otah. Yetavia ba'esh. So what's going on now? Why did they do that? Why is it their fault? Are they blaming them, or are they trying to show Shimshon that actually Plishtim are very makbid on this outrageous behavior, and they're going to take it out on them? What was burning them up in fire? Is that some type of onesh for Eishes Ish that they have?
No. And at the Chidah, didn't they threaten to burn her and Beis Avi?
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, so what's the... Oh, Moshe and Del can't come today. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah. They did. So, I mean, but what... There it makes sense, because they're putting pressure on to get something out of it. Over here, like, what are you coming back to us for? what we did was perfectly acceptable in Plishtim terms, unless that's exactly the point, that it's not. It seems very, very arbitrary, no? Anybody see anything there? Any medrash?
I mean the Malbim says Beferish, it's they didn't do it because of this nos. They did it because of to calm down Shimshon. I'm saying he says those words. Lahashkit Kas Shimshon. So just in terms of that's what they were trying to do.
Could it be a controlled burning as opposed to his reckless and haphazard burning? Like, we're better than you, Shimshon. We know what to burn when it needs burning. You're out of your mind. You burn everything.
But then how do we understand the next pasuk? So what if they're doing this to cool him down, or if the Malbim isn't correct and they're doing this to actually punish and to show that they agree with Shimshon that this is outrageous, which is a little weird, then why Vayomelem Shimshonim Tasun Kazot? What's the kazot? I mean, Rashi says, is this your normal behavior? Giving away somebody's wife to somebody else? I mean, is that what he's starting from nowhere now? It's not enough that I just burned everything down to catch your attention. Okay, gentlemen, now I have your attention. I'm going to beat you up. It's very cute. But what was the point of having your attention? I mean, why did he make that big statement that that's it? I'm finished. Dikate the apami plishtim. I am going to teach them a lesson. So he already taught them a lesson. So now he's coming along and he's saying, now I'm going to take one nekama from you, but you already took a big nekama.
Right.
Unless the imtasu kazot would be a
reference. The way the Malbim. Mm-hmm. The Malbim says that you're going to be Don Dine Nefashos. So I'll be Don Dine, meaning I was mistopic with burning your fields. But now if you're going to kill people, I'll kill. But it's unprovoked.
That's interesting. I mean, the Mitzvah says exactly the opposite. The Mitzvah says that, okay, I mean, since you're good guys and you were coming to avenge the wrong that was done to me by burning up my ex-wife, teaching her a lesson, she ain't going to do that again, I guarantee it. So if that's the case, you're basically good guys, and therefore I'm only going to beat you up this once.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
You have to admit that the whole thing is absolutely hilarious.
No, v'achar echdal, though, it's more meduyik. Why to say v'achar echdal? That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, why is it not going to beat you up?
Now it's very clear. Since I see that things are, you know, understood by you. Okay. So we don't need a war. You know, I got to get out my anger and frustration. I'll beat you up one time and that'll be it. What do you say? Just a couple of punches apiece, you know?
The Radak says, if you would have burnt her originally when she was stolen, that would have been fine. But you waited to burn her, so now you're going to get hit again.
For the delay. Okay, but the Mitzvah makes more sense for that. Because, I mean, then it really is Im Tasun Kazot. So if you stuck up for me, so then now I'm cooled down a little bit. So when I'm cooled down, I only beat people up once. It's a good thing I'm not angry. It really does tie in so much to the madman image, right? You know, boys, you're really lucky because you cooled me down. I'm not angry, so I'm just going to kill you once. Well, anyway, tomorrow we've been thinking about welcome. Yeah. So we've been thinking about the strategy over here of the utilizing the shualim and basically creating an image that precludes any dealing with it on a normal basis. As we can't we can't start discussing a diplomatic episode and you know, the listen, you guys have got to control your crazies over there. I mean, this is the jihad and we hold Hamas responsible for the jihad. So all of it, this is just insanity. And by putting it outside of the ball completely, I mean, it's totally nuts. The guy can't even be seen as an operator for an offshoot group. He's just a nut. And what are you supposed to do with him? It's like the ultimate lone wolf, you know, and these lone wolves, even today, they get away with murder just because you can't pin it on anybody else. But the crazier that he makes himself, the more he becomes out of the range or his activities become out of range of any diplomatic impact. They're not going to have, they're not a declaration of war. They're just crazy. And he makes the whole thing very, very personal. The personal problems of a nut. What are you going to do? You're going to go to the Hague. What are you going to do with this? I mean, like, right? Is that, you think that that's a reasonable approach to understanding his strategy?
Rabbi, am I being asked? Yeah. Or if it was just like to general? I'm, for my purposes, I'm really, this has just sat very deeply with me, as I'm not saying that I parent to Shimshon, but I'm probably as close to anyone in this august group as we're going to get for someone who parents the generation of Shimshonim. And I'm trying for my purposes to be able to, and I don't want to go on a tangent here too much, but for the purposes of conveying this to other people, to find a parallel in our day and age in a person, in a specific person or even a specific movement. Unfortunately, everything I'm coming up with, because we are Rachmanim and Rachmanim, you know, maybe even to a fault, is always a responsive measure as opposed to an aggressive measure. So it will be someone like Meir Hartzion, who, when his sister was raped and killed when she was out on a tiyul, then he got some buddies together and he kidnapped four Bedouin and mutilated them and, you know, and killed them. So that's like, you know, that's on the level or because that's what I'm trying to zone in on here. And maybe I shouldn't say I parent a Shimshon because now it's not sounding so great, but I'm saying that it, in terms of the craziness of a generation or an individual within a generation who can be such a lone wolf, who can flout the law, who can flout the diplomacy and the norms, we have those in our midst. And I'm just like, it's yeah, very,
they're not jokers. I'm suggesting that he's adding a level of humor and nutty.
Okay. Ira Rappaport, the unofficial mayor of Shiloh. If Barnea is here, then he would, if Rep Barnea was here, then he would know who I'm talking about. If any of you know who he is. He was in the Machteret and he blew up. He blew off the legs of the mayor of the one of the sheikhs of a neighboring town, and then he sent him a pair of roller skates. So maybe that gets close to.
It's a little. Bit.
There's a little bit of humor there, I suppose, but
yeah, but
it exists in our day.
This is really humor. I mean that is you
we
know.
Don't have any Shimshon today. I don't see it. The best we could do is maybe Kahana was the best, and if not him, then Menachem Begin, and he wasn't even close to this.
But it was responsive what Begin did. He took the British officers and hanged them in response to
But he was always with a, you know, just to show that you're not getting away with anything anymore.
Exactly.
And we're done. But it wasn't a Shimshon where he went. It's nothing. It was nothing.
I think the Shimshon, what Rebbe had said earlier of someone coming to in the 20s that wanted to live with the Arabs or be with Arabs but as a Jew, ending up acting like the Arabs though, or in fact falling. I mean, because that's or the end of the story is that somehow it goes wrong, that he falls in too much. But initially he's engaging the Arabs as his own man, as a Jew, and not hiding it. He's not trying to be an Arab or be a Palestinian.
Then that would be Meir Hartzion, who spoke Arabic more fluently than Arabs did. But was as extreme of
but
a
his family. Say, but he had, but his family was his sister
raped and murdered, and then in retaliation
marries. It's like he marries an Arab, and then something happens to her. It's not his sister.
But let me ask you. I have a question. What he did by taking the Bedouins, would he have been punished by the Arab community? I mean, the Israeli community punished him. Would he have been punished by the Arabic community? And that's what we're dealing with here. Shimshon doesn't have to deal with the Jews. He has to
have to deal with the Jews later on with Yehuda?
Very esoteric. But right now, again, this person who retaliated, had it not been Jews, had we not had any Israelis there, would he have been punished? What he did with the Bedouins.
He couldn't have been punished by Israel either because it was pre-1948.
Yeah. Oh, it was pre-1948.
Yeah, but the question is, was it consistent with Bedouin morality?
Yes.
It was. And that's why they it halted it. It was like Begin's saying, I'm going to halt British activity by giving them a taste of
the So that's a perfect example. That's a Shimshon example. That's a perfect example that
because that's the point over here. He's trying, he's talking to them on their level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can also be like you. Okay.
All right.
Ryan, all right. That's a very good marshal. Yeah. Okay. But the business, if I support Avia Be'esh, is really not all that clear. I mean, so we have three different approaches, basically. It's a punishment for Znus. It's just a straight-out way of trying to cool down Shimshon. And it was what should have been done earlier, and they did too late and didn't help. Which is the Radak, right?
Yeah.
And the Imta Sun Kizot, is it possible that he's upset they killed his wife? I'm saying even though the wife already had been given to somebody else, but I'm saying that would be a fresh reason that
he seems to be using the Imta Sun Kizot as a reason why I'm going to be Erdal. Like the Mitzudas is learning. Since you did this, so I'm only going to hit you once.
No, the key mechdal makes sense according to the
Im, right? The key. No, since you did this like this, you could have gotten me angry. You know, it's a good thing you didn't get me angry. I mean, you've kept me calm, so I'm going to behave myself. Otherwise, I would be eating my spinach, and then you'd really be finished. Okay, all right. Okay. So we'll keep it open. We'll see more. So vayachotam shok al yarech makah gedola vayered vayeshev b'si'if sela etam. Okay. Why did he go down to sit there? He was waiting for what? He looks like he wants to be captured. He's sitting there in Sela Etam, being completely ready for them to come and to take him. And to hand him over to the police. And it looks like he actually wants that. Because this is going to allow him to do his next shtick. It all seems to be part of like a very long kind of trickster thing. Okay. Okay. Here I am. Here I am. Boys. Okay. Right. So, Vayalu, Plishtim, Vayachanub, Yudah, Vayinachu, Belechi. Now, this Lechi is very strange. Was it called Lechi before? So, like, it's he's giving them a remez on what's about to happen, or like, what's happening? Because in the end, the whole, again, the craziness of the story is the Lechi Chamor. I mean, so yeah. When it says Vayenachu Belechi, I mean, you got to admit that is extremely strange to open up the insane story of the Lechi Chamor in a place called Lechi.
You're muted, Ido. Ido, you're muted.
Ido?
The gardener's here, so I muted it. It's Al Shem Sofa. They say that the Lechi is Vayinachu. What's the Lashon Vayinachu? Just that they let things stop.
They spread around over there. Like, yeah, okay. They were once a group and then they split up and so on in Lechi. But Rashi just says Shem Makom. No, who says that it's Al Shem Sofa? That's what I was hoping to find.
The Radak.
And the Mitzvah Siyot says that. That they called it Ramat Lechi, so Hashem Sofo.
Something that's very interesting here, just geographically, is that Timnah is to the west of Zaran Eshtaol, and Etam, Sela Etam, is south of Beit Lechem, Yehuda. And so here we have an incursion from Nachalat Dan that Shimshon himself is fleeing to Sela Etam. And then he's drawing the Plishtim into Yehuda. So he's roping Yehuda, or maybe Shimon, at least according to the Olam HaTanach, that, you know, Yehuda and Shimon having intertwined Nachalot into the confrontation with the Plishtim, where it doesn't seem the Plishtim had ever headed that far east before.
So then it would really be a setup.
Yeah.
So what would be the purpose of that specifically? I mean, you see that that Yehuda is upset about it. I mean, Yehuda says to them, what's going on? What is this, a new invasion? What are you coming here for? We've had a modus operandi until now. You've never been here before. So your point is well taken in terms of the pasuk.
No, so Shimshon wants to show the Plishtim that he's acting alone. He's drawing them into Yehuda territory so that Yehuda will hand him over, thus showing the Plishtim he's a vigilante.
Proves that they can't take it out on the Jews. The Jews are right. On the contrary. He just wants to make sure that they don't hurt him. He doesn't want to get into Chas V'Shalom and he fights with them.
I mean, it doesn't say he's the Shofet until the end of the parak. So it could be at this point he wasn't really the Shofet. It says, Hu shafat et Yisrael, the Yishpot et Yisrael, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it because if he is the Shofet, then he can't just be completely an individual. But.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, maybe this is ipso facto a shofet. Whether they know it or not. I mean, Lamaisa, he's taking responsibility for the development of the Am and its relationship with the Goyim and with the way that things have been going downhill because of it. And that's that itself is an act of mishpat. Maybe they don't have to be mekabel him yet.
Yeah.
If he's the only one who's doing anything.
Yeah. Right. Right.
That would explain why it's like specifically in terms of bimei plishtim. In other words, it would be vis-a-vis the plishtim, right?
I mean, I don't know. The other stuff, it was either you have a shofet, and then you have a tkufa where you don't have a shofet, and you have plishtim. But he's a shofet, they may plishtim. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, so it could be it's a whole different type of approach to the mishpat. But what are we supposed to hear from it? Like, but listening to the story, you know, what is it that this tells us about what it is to be Bnei Yisrael with the Plishtim? I mean, surely people were supposed to be reacting to what it was that he was doing, right? It wasn't only vis-a-vis the Plishtim, obviously. The point of it, yeah, especially if we're calling it a getter of mishpat, shofet, so then it would have been something that left an awesome impact on Bnei Yisrael. These are the years of Shimshon, and this is what Shimshon achieved, and this is what Yaakov Avinu dreamed of Shimshon and recognized it as part of the Hachana for the Kate, and so on. So what is that completely outside of an envelope vision? Is it that itself that's very important to us? That we are over-civilized? That we have these envelopes? That we only conceive of ourselves as being within? I mean, this is a tremendous limitation today, right? In the contemporary sense, the fact that we consider ourselves to be, so to speak, civilized in terms of the way that the Ummahs view behavior. Is there something about this that is meant to teach us that the veneers of civilization that the Goyim take on themselves are not meant to control us, to have to worry about inappropriate responses, or what do they call it? They call it out of proportion, non-proportionate. Unfortunate responses. I mean, this is like the ultimate insanity in terms of non-proportionate response, right? No, and the fact that that is so important to us, Bizman HaZeh, in a way, it's almost as if we made a bris with the Goyim that this is the way we're going to behave. Like, we're telling them we're not going to use atomic weapons. We're telling them where everything is going to be performed. We're telling them that, you know, as long as they behave, they can keep the Makom HaMikdash. And I mean, all kinds of insane things that we tell them, because it's expected that proper behavior includes that.
Rebbe mentioned that Yaakov's vision, but it was Yaakov who stopped Shimon and Levi from doing what they were supposed to do, meaning you can't have it both ways. You can't have a Shimon and Levi, and you can't have a Shimshon.
Yeah, but he said he explains that that's because he can't handle it. He says, "Beferish to his children." He says, "Right now, I just got here, and I don't have any people, and I don't have any soldiers." Right.
So it's only so he did believe in what Shimon and Levi did. Why does he give him sort of a non-bracha?
Because of the way that they handled him and the way they were related to Yisrael,
okay, right? But they weren't really trying to hurt him in any way. They were just responding.
That doesn't matter. But they like Rashi says, these were the Bnei Yaakov. Why does it say Bnei Yaakov? That even though they were his sons, they didn't act like sons.
And so Shimshon would be a better son to him?
There's the massive difference between the Arelim of the Plishtim and the Bnei Brit of Shechem. Not saying, regardless of how one wants to parse.
I don't know, why is it any different? They took her without appropriateness.
There was a Brit that was, one can spin that, you know, it wasn't genuine, or it was a ruse, it was a means, but it was a breach. And they
and
were.
Let me ask you, let's say it didn't do anything, would that have been good for Klal Yisrael to have the to have them as a part of Klal Yisrael? That's what would have happened. Had we accepted the Brit.
I mean, but his only taina was ani mitei mispar. V'nesfu alai v'ikuni v'nishmarati ani ubeifi. So he seemed to taina to them specifically about the fact that the timing is wrong. And you can only use this type of behavior when you are empowered. With this type
Shimshon
of
was not empowered.
Okay, exactly. That's why he had to keep it out of the standard. Shimon and Levi did not keep it out of the standard. They made it seem like this is the way we are. And by the way, the same thing was relating to the same idea of Arelut, Beferish, right? They say, Beferish, we can't handle Arelim. So the only taina was that the Arelut of Shechem could have really been turned into a Mila. So that part at least was honest. Over here, it's like straight out. It's the same taina against these Arelim. I got no patience with these Arelim. And let me just one more sentence. Please. I'm sorry. And we understood that stress has to have everything to do with the whole crazy story, because it's really focused on Mila, essentially. It's really focused on the Kayach of Birchosei Ba'amosei and the difference between these Goyim's penises and his. It's like a very strange thing. Why are we like focused on this? Both stories are Nogea Arelut. So I don't know. It's not mashma that Yaakov Avinu had a taina on them for the disproportionate response. Even though, and you know, it's crazy because when we read it, it sickens us. That's the crazy part.
Yeah,
read the story of Shechem, it's like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Why? I'm not embarrassed. I think it was appropriate response.
I'm just telling you, but your natural response is embarrassment. You lied to them. You fooled them. I mean,
no, it's not. In no sense for me.
Okay, so I'm saying, so you are a fine student of what Shimshon is trying to bring out. I'm not saying it's appropriate to feel that way. I'm saying, look how deeply it's affected us. That for all intents and purposes, so we think, you know, Lo Tichrod Britim Yoshvei Haaretz is to sit down and have an official signing with them. It's not, this is the whole point that we understood in Shimshon up front, is that the insidious nature of this creeping Plishtinization is worse than any Brit. Exactly what's happening today.
Yeah.
Sickness of the way that people are getting along with Arabs, and this is okay, and this is acceptable, and yeah, let them do what they want, and they could stay on the Makam Ambig. I mean, it's like unbelievable. And this is, and what's the excuse for it? That for all intents and purposes, there is a pan-human civilization that is mechayev us with this getter of bris. We have to be mentioned.
But it's also Yaakov's argument. The argument to only not go to Harabayis
is it.
Look at how weak we are. We can't do anything. We're too weak right now to be able to go to Harabayis.
We may be weak now, but the way that we are going, within 5 years, we are stronger than any country on earth.
Okay, right? But you see,
it, nobody else is willing to fight, for God's sake.
But you see, if you don't have the Shimon and Levi,
in practical terms, we are stronger than anyone.
Right now, absolutely. Right now, we're stronger, and it's entirely irrelevant. Who cares?
Because if we don't have the resolve. It takes the resolve. So my son, because the Shimshon has, not that Ruvi, not that my eldest son, it reminds me about Shimshon. I don't want to go in that kivun. But he right now is doing a series for his course Katsinim. He's doing a series of Nivutim for this week, for next week, solo navigations at night, 40 kilometers per night, no map, no flashlight, only his gun. But, again, alone, somewhere in Israel. And I, you know, and I say it to him, and I see him as a paradigm of this generation. And I say to him, where is your innate fear? Your sense of you don't know exactly where you're going, your sense of being stranger. And he's like, I'm not a stranger. He feels a deep in the marrow of who he is. And all of his peers feel this as well. A sense of, I have this gun and I will use it and I won't think twice. And this is my land and I will be here and I will take that jawbone and do what I need to do. It's this, I very much hope that what is holding us back now is this lack of resolve and that it'll rectify itself as Malchut emerges,
getting back to Yaakov, he has that connection. That Shimshon had that connection.
It had to be instilled. I have an example. I think it's a pretty good example. The Indians never got enslaved because they had inbred in them. Why didn't they get enslaved, just like the blacks? Why? Because they said, we will never enslave ourselves. We will sit there and you can kill us, you can beat us, you can do whatever you want to us. We will never allow you to enslave us. And that was ingrained in them. Yaakov could have had the same story with Shimon and Levi.
I don't understand. What do you mean the same story with Shimon and Levi?
I'm saying is that we can never allow the Goyim to do to
that's,
us.
That's exactly what they said to Yaakov.
Ever happen. We'd rather die. What's the point?
What they said to Yaakov.
I understand.
The alternative is that our sister's going to be a whore? That's
the alternative. But Yaakov still split them. He still split them. That's my what I'm trying to get at, is that the
yeah, but remember, that's the whole meaning of Al-Tira of the Yaakov. That itself is part of the development of Yisroel, from Yaakov to Yisroel. The whole point of Yaakov is the Pachad. Look at all the psukim that we talk about with Al-Tira of the Yaakov. They're all part of that development. That we say Mitzvah Shabbos together with Elio Anovi, that has to do with the coming of Mashiach. And the willingness to actually take destiny into our hands and so on. So I'm just saying that maybe maybe one step in this is the outrageousness of who said that I am supposed to be a normal person because I'm the shofet of Yisrael. I'm leading Yisrael as a madman. You don't like it? Let's see what you're going to do about it. And maybe that's important.
He's not taking destiny in his hands in the way that he's trying to change the course of history, although that's, of course, what he's trying to do, because it's the story plays out that he's simply grieving his own insults or the wounds,
yes,
you know,
but
the assault.
We understood that was by showing a different level of morality and commitment to the way things are meant to be. If you're going to act like this, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I came here thinking that you were human, and now I see you are not human beings. And that I will not tolerate. No morality, no decency, no loyalty, no honesty. I mean, how much am I supposed to tolerate? I thought you were going to be friends. That was the whole point that we understood L'chatchila. He's not talking about some personal wrong. He's talking about a personal moral wrong. I will not deal with people that are animals. You guys are animals. Are you calling me the animal?
But you're a subject. You're in a subject population when you do that.
What? Wait a second. He is acting in their society. He is not. I don't know if he's acting so crazy, by the way. There's no proof of that from what I'm seeing. Everything that they even agree with him. You had a right to burn our fields. That's why we killed your ex-wife.
yeah, but the use of the shualim and all of the funny things.
Yeah, okay. He's a little more creative.
That's mad. Picking up, bringing them—that's mad. I mean, he's doing crazy things.
I could see him being
He's doing it as an Irishman in England, though.
Yeah, I could see him being, by the way, very calm. He has these things in his truck. He goes out, he ties and he tosses them, and he continues on. You know, he goes to the next meal. Very calm.
I just want to point out that maybe his decision, his deliberate decision to go to Sela Etam into the heart of Buddha is like if I would imagine Shimshon walking into the yeshiva in Alon Shvut, like literally in the heart of Yehuda, and the symbol of moderation and diplomacy and restraint, and to a certain degree, perhaps fear underlying that push towards restraint and moderation, and saying, I am Ke'echad Shivte Yisrael. I am the one Yehuda who has to pull you into your destiny as a representation of all of Am Yisrael. And I hear from your response that when they say we're going to give you over to the Plishtim, just how you are not yet ready to fulfill your destiny 100%. And be a leader.
I think that's absolutely on target. Absolutely. I mean, that's part of what, that's why I'm asking, what are we supposed to see and feel? It's what they were supposed to see and feel, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, he wants Yehuda to be, he wants us to be like Yehuda, essentially. Okay, so now, millennia in the future, what do you read? What do you hear? You're in the same situation with these idiotic plishtim arelim all over the place. And you're exactly the way these Yehudim are. So what do you want to do? You want to turn me over? Go ahead, turn me over. I think your point is very well taken. And remember that's the main point of Sefer Shoftim, is the question of the relationship with the Umas HaOlam and the way that you end up being stuck with this britot with them. This goes all the way back to the bris that Avram made with the Plishtim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset about, and it's the point that was brought out originally, that this same kind of behavior of claiming that we are moral, and that how did you treat me like this, Avram, and kimat shechav echad ha'am, blah, 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 and why did you do such a thing, and how, what do you mean? You're the moral ones? Okay, let's test that out. So, I mean, it could be that this goes hand in hand with the breaking of standards of behavior in terms of sexual behavior as well. You know, with all of your restraint and all of your so-called kedusha, Mr. Yehuda people, you know, what you've created is a society of geeks. No, it's really true.
So I understand we're learning it as a taina on Yehuda. The fact that Yehuda acts the way they act is
taina, but the point is that there is a powerful lesson. How to apply it, where to apply it, that for sure is very, very delicate. We find that's as Shlomo was pointing out. We see that with Yaakov Avinu. It wasn't clear. And on the other hand, we see that we needed a biror of b'meshach haderes of the difference between Levi's activity versus Shimon's activity, and that for Levi it was indeed acceptable, and in Shimon it only comes out that it was unacceptable, gufa, because of the sexual elements, as happens later on with Zimri. So if these two things go together, you want to act like a madman, then you have to know how to handle birchato b'amato. And if you don't, then Levi separates from you. And then look what happens to Shimon, Hashem Yishmor. All of the losses, all of the sudden decline in population, it's terrifying. And Shimon suffers throughout history. Because you're doing the right thing, but for the wrong reasons, apparently, where you're not really able to handle what it is that you're doing. So all around, whether it's Yaakov Avinu's taina, we're not ready at this point to handle it.
Well, whether it's personal in terms of Zimri or whatever, which Kabbalistically becomes connected to Rabbi Akiva and the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the same number of people that are killed, I mean, all kinds of crazy things. This has to do with Bias HaMashiach the same way that Shimshon did, and how Yaakov Avinu saw him as Mashiach. There's clearly an interrelationship between outrageous behavior in terms of the so-called morality and diplomacy and outrageous behavior sexually. Those two things are completely related, because we see that that's exactly what happens in Shechem. It's exactly the same focus with the Oro, and it's exactly what makes the difference in terms of the Einish of Shimshon and Zimri. It's the reason that Rabbi Akiva marries Eishes Toras Rumphusk in terms of the Kabbalah. She is the same person as he's a Gilgal of Zimri. She's Cosby Buster. Anyway, okay, guys, I have the next year in the Choma issues. I would love to say it's been great to have you, Yitz, but you've been hiding behind that name and very little smiles. We got one smile.
And you're on mute, Yitz.
Two smiles. And no talking.
Yeah, you're on mute, Yitz.
The whole invitation was for the brilliant Yitzy insights, and you're not sharing them.
I have a question for you, Rebbe. You're running to another share, so maybe I can...
Can you put it in the chat? You're on the chat.
Yeah,
right?
Throughout COVID, I've never been on a Zoom call before, so my computer doesn't have video, and I don't think it has audio either. And it's hard for me to look at the Navi while I'm looking at my phone.
Oh, I got you.
Can you believe this is my first Zoom call in 3 years?
That really is unbelievable. Wow. Yeah, no wonder Boeing is having trouble.
So let's hear the question.
All right, yeah. Let's
my question?
Yeah, come on.
It's not specific about your discussion here. I just wanted to know if Rabbi's Mahalach on Ish HaYashar, but to me, you said the theme of Shoftim is relationship to Goyim. To me, the theme of Shoftim is Ish HaYashar Be'inah versus Hara Be'inah Hashem. My simple reading for many years of a Ish HaYashar Be'inah is not a positive statement. Rabbi Miller is so consistent in his reading of Ish HaYashar Be'inah is that they were true Yesharim. They were Yesharim even without a Melech, etc. And we were never on that Madrega afterwards. And his read of Ish HaYashar Be'inah is meaning that they were.
Who is Rabbi Victor Miller you're talking about?
Yeah, it's very, in all of his writings, he's very, very consistent about that.
This is the way we've been learning also. But there's two different levels over here. The question over here is what we're supposed to get out of Sefer Shoftim. That question, that's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether Sefer HaYashar is Sefer Shoftim, right? There's one man, Diomo, says it's a reference to Sefer Shoftim, specifically because of Ish HaYashar Be'inah Yaseh. But the question over here is that the whole book opens with the idea of the Malach and of Pinchas and warning them at the beginning, listen, everything from this point on is going to be defined by the fact that you weren't ready to wipe out the Goyim and that you ended up wanting to live with them. And that this is therefore going to take now until the whole development of the Malchus, and only then you're going to be able to have a Beis HaMikdash, so that David becomes the one who actually ends up doing what you guys were supposed to do. But all right, let's pursue it. Let's pursue it further next week.
But Ish HaYashar Be'inah is not a derogatory statement. Ish HaYashar Be'inah means
both.
That they're able to do
it's both
act with Yashrus without a Melech.
I believe it's both.
They may have.
We'll talk about it. Okay, Rabbi Isai, it's been lovely. I got to run.
It's next week.
Coming. Okay, wonderful. Good to have everyone
there. Bye, Rabbi.
All too. Bye.